Oh yeah, it's another beautiful Wheel Wednesday Behind the Wheel podcast. I am Luis from Koenig Wheels, and this is my buddy
Rich from Koenig Wheels.
How you doing, man?
Great.
Great? That's it.
Just great.
Just great.
What about you?
I'm all right. I'm
just,
awesome.
Just all right?
Amazing.
Amazing. All right, keeps getting better.
I know, man. Anyways, if you didn't catch last week's podcast, we actually had a really dope conversation about, what was it about?
It was about a ongoing case in California. Young man is, you know, has a suspended registration from having a stock exhaust on a 2022 Elantra N.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why I brought that up is because that podcast was very interesting, so go check it out. But similarly, we wanted to have a topic podcast today, and the topic is the NTBS recommends speed limitation technology in new cars. NTSB. I knew I was going to say that.
What did you say the first time?
NTBS.
NTBS? Okay. Well, it is BS.
Well, so if you don't know what the NTSB is, it's the National Transportation Safety Board. So basically what they're trying to do is put technology into these new cars that are coming out and basically slowing them down when you go over a speed limit. Basically meaning, so let's say if the speed limit's 55 and you're hitting that, and then all of a sudden you go to 56, it's going to give you a warning. And that warning is basically going to say, hey, go slower, and then it's going to drop you down back to 55, and that's it. That's all you can go.
With a with an automatic, like, regulation, essentially?
Basically. So yeah. The technology is basically going to be able to do that, and the only way to accelerate this car any faster than that specific speed limit, you're going to have a button that's going to give you about 15 seconds to be able to go a specific larger speed limit, and then it's going to go bring you back down to 55.
So for 15 seconds, you can hit a button, and you can go, hey, I want to go a little faster now. I want to break the law.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to break the law right now. Boom. 15 seconds, and you go.
Yep.
How fast can you go?
Yep.
Can you go?
I guess you can go up to 100 miles in about 15 seconds.
Right, but I'm saying like, and then what? Then when you're cruising at 100 miles an hour and it just cuts it,
and then it's gonna bring you back down to 55.
That's silly.
Yeah, man.
Actually, sounds pretty dangerous.
Yeah. So, well, the reason why they're doing that is they're saying that this the reason why they even give you that option to accelerate is to go faster so that you can merge all these type of situations that may need you to go a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. To me, the reason why this is crazy, but also to play devil's advocate in a few, I'm going to give you my reasoning why maybe this is a positive. I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? But the reason why is, look, at the end of the day, I feel like when it comes to this, you are now encroaching in how people can do things on their own. Basically saying to us that we're not capable of making our own decisions. And by doing this, we're going to take that away from you.
Yeah.
Which I think in a lot of ways, this is a human rights type of thing situation here. But also, can it save lives?
You
know what I mean? Can it? No, really, can it?
It could. I think it could, but, you know.
But for example, with those 15 seconds, you can go faster and then cause some damage as well. Cause an accident, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something that lasts for 15 seconds. Does that mean after the 15 seconds you have a buffer, you can't do it anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Or you every 15 seconds you're allowed to press it over and over again, and then you can keep going faster.
Right. Well, all right. Where we live, for example, on Long Island, Southern State Parkway, by state troopers, I think it's referred to as something along the lines is like Blood Valley or something like that, if you didn't
know. I didn't know that.
The Southern State Parkway is known as that because the merging lanes are so tiny and it's really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So could you, you've merged on the Southern State before. You know how stressful it is,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You know, cars are flying by and you got a little merging lane.
Yeah.
Now, you have a car and like, do you think you have that right state of mind to like go in on that small little merging lane? Like, you know what? I only got 15 seconds. Hit the button. And you're like, I only got this 15-second window to get my ass into the lane.
That is, you know? Yeah, yeah. Like, no.
That's a lot to think about.
That is a lot to think about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a really weird we're going into a really real phase when it comes to like how these manufacturers are building these cars. What are our options when it comes to these cars? And in a lot of ways, look, for example, some of the statistics that I've seen so far is in the beginning of this year, in America alone, when it comes to crashes, we've had about 43,000 deaths already.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Which the thought of that, that many people have died off of accidents, makes you double think this whole thing.
Right.
You know, now, I'm not saying, look, as a motorsports enthusiast, as a car enthusiast, do I not want this option taken away from us? Absolutely not. But as I had mentioned to you earlier, maybe some type of way where you can get a license to drive some of these cars, maybe something that might have to come into play here. Because I see it like this. Look, unfortunately, as much as I want to say the person next to me has the same morale and the same mindset as me, is reality. It's not. You know, there's people who, for example, if I'm driving past a specific group of kids or whatnot, I'm going to drive through it. There's other people who would drive towards them just because they have a different mindset, or they have, you know, a mental disorder, whatever it may be. You know what I mean? They have that mindset to be able to do that, and I don't. So I think situations like this, maybe limiting the speed will kind of reduce that, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either, I guess. But the way I look at it is that you just gave a number of roughly 43,000, you know, car accident fatalities, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how many of those are then directly related to speeding? I mean, if you're going the appropriate speed limit on the highway, 55, you get an accident, you can still die.
Well, so,
you know?
So I did look up the statistics. Okay, so let's take a look. Over 108,000 Americans have died in crashes where speed was a factor in the last decade. Now, that's still a big number.
108 over the last decade.
Decade.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, which, you know, although...
Roughly 10,000 or, you know, 11, you know, per year.
Which, in the grand scheme of things, is a lot. Like, if you think about the numbers itself,
mm-hmm.
it's not a lot. But at the end of the day, you have to remember, these are human lives.
Of course.
We're not talking about, you know, food or something to that effect where, you know, this is people's lives that are being lost because of speed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So... can this be limited by doing this? Can the deaths be limited by doing this? I think so, man.
Yeah, and we're going to continue probably to go back and forth with each other here. It's uh-huh. not that we have opposing views. I think we're just both trying to
yeah,
play.
Yeah, yeah,
we're,
of course. We're and both I'm trying to devil's play. Advocate. Yeah,
yeah, we're playing yeah. both sides just for the yeah. sake of conversation, I think.
Yeah.
But how many people are equipped with a vehicle that can go way beyond speed limit
mm-hmm.
and still responsibly use it?
Exactly. Now right. that statistic won't ever come out.
Right. But I have a gut feeling it's probably more.
Yeah.
You know,
of course.
But, you know, so I don't know. I mean, it's a shame if they decide to regulate the speed that we're allowed to go in vehicles that we decide to purchase.
And I agree with that. And in many ways, I agree with that. Like, for example, they are doing this. And I mentioned to Rich earlier that they are doing this in Europe, as of now. They do have the call the ISA system, which is the Intelligent Speed Assistance System. That basically, what they're doing in places like Sweden or whatnot is they're giving you the option to have this on. So when you put your car on, this is the default setting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can take it off though if you want to exceed that speed limit. You know, so they're giving you the option to do so.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think in a lot of ways, maybe this is the right way, the option to take it off if you want to and then drive normally as you want. But I think it being at the default setting. So, for example, if a drunk driver decides to get in the car and it's the default setting and you don't have the right mindset to click on that button to say, no, I don't want to drive faster than this or whatever it is. You know what I mean? That's the default setting. And then you're driving at that speed limit and that's where you're at. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like I said, is this encroaching on human right? You know what I mean? The right to make choices. Because if, let's say, the way that I see it is like this. If it's just this specific, if we start with this, then how are we going to start limiting everything else? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of choices that we have in America that we make our choices alone. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like Scott used, for example, like how far can you travel up a ladder? You know, is it two steps and then all of a sudden you could fall off of that? So we're going to limit it to just two steps.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Can I insert an idea real quick?
Sure,
yeah,
you can.
Course.
Okay, so there's a difference between a right to drive and a privilege to drive.
Okay.
I'll leave you with that.
All right.
Okay. So Max was saying that, you know, he wanted us to make the statement of that there is a right to drive. and then there's a privilege to drive.
Yes.
How would you interpret that?
So I think, you know, and that's one of the things. Like, for example, I would say it like this. There's a reason why we have driver's license. And there's a reason why a lot of people fail those driver's license over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's a sad thing that people do because it's a very easy test. Yep. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, obviously that's the reason why we do this. But as I mentioned before, I think the right way to do this is, for example, if we're gonna step into this and all agree that this is the direction we want to go, then I think a license to be able to drive these higher powered cars and having a license for that, the same way that we do it with gun laws and stuff like that, that, you know, for you to have a gun, you have to, have a specific background, all that stuff, and then you can get yourself a licensed gun. I think that's plausible in some capacity.
I can understand that. So, you know, maybe the person with a clean driving record, yeah, stuff like that is approved to drive a more, you know, powerful vehicle, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, that it still seems like you said, kind of like a hindrance on your right, as a right just in general. But, something that I remember reading a while back is that Volvo said that they were going to start limiting all their vehicles across the board I might be wrong on this, but somewhere around the number of like 112 miles an hour is where it's going to be a speed limiter on all their cars across the board. I remember hearing that and being so upset, being like, oh man, Volvo's boring.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, no,
like,
for
like,
sure.
Why do they do that? But now I look at it, I'm like, do you ever really have to go higher than 112 miles an hour or even that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and
it's... Oh, right on the money. Look at that. 112. No. My memory is good, man.
Look at you, man.
That's good. I didn't look that up before this, I swear.
No, I know.
I didn't. Oh. That's just memory. That's got to be years ago I looked that up.
My man's memory is on point. See, yeah, this guy could drive himself a car, yeah, and be okay.
That's, I think, fish oil pills. Helps your memory.
But that's what I'm trying to say, man. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, when are we going to, you know, when it comes to daily driving, when are we going to have to exceed a specific limit? I 100% agree with that. You know what I'm saying? But now, like, I like to play devil's advocate just to be the conversationalist here and have a conversation, is when it comes to motorsports, does that limit our playground? All of a sudden, now a person who buys himself a car, let's say, just wants to buy themselves a regular car and wants to play with it and wants to do an engine swap or wants to do... Now, we're talking about... not electric cars here. Obviously, I'm talking about, you know, internal combustion cars, mm-hmm, where you want to do engine swaps or you want to put up a boost on it or whatever it is. Does that mean that no longer exists? Is it over for? Is that done?
They would probably have to get around that kind of like ECU configuration to take off the limiter, you know?
And that's what I'm saying. And now we're getting into that field where, let's say if you do limit the car community, I'm telling you, and I've seen it 101 million times, the car community will find a way to make that car faster.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. We go against the grain. You know what I'm saying? So, it's crazy. But at the same time, it's like you are limiting the playground of motorsports enthusiasts, of car enthusiasts, you know what I mean, by doing these type of things. And I think regardless of what you may think, I think we're going to find ways around it, unfortunately. And it's going to be the illegal way, which was what people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They find loopholes on how to make things work. And all of a sudden now it becomes a whole nother problem, mm-hmm, that we have under the belt here.
Now,
you know what I'm saying?
You would think if they really want to crack down on accidents and fatalities with vehicles and such, you think there's an easier way, like, you know, redoing your driver's license exam test or whatever, your driving test, maybe periodically, say once a decade.
Yes.
You know, like maybe the person who took it once at 16 and they passed or whatever, and then, you know, years go by and they haven't ever been tested again. They just get worse and worse and worse.
Well, this podcast is... It's not representative of Koenig. It's our own individual thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I want to emphasize that. So, you know, this is not a reflection on Koenig's. What they view is how I view certain things.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say that is because I think I have seen, so from experience, for example, my grandmother has had, unfortunately, a head injury a long time ago. She's in her, I think, what, almost coming close to her 80s,
mm-hmm,
and there was an instance where one time she was on the road and something may have happened where she her mind process wasn't as normal as it would normally be because she's getting older. And then she just stood in the middle of the road creating traffic, mm-hmm. you know, people beeping. She did not know how to handle that certain situation. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is, should there be a limit of age that a person can no longer drive? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, maybe not age, but just, I mean, you could be 80 years old and very sharp and probably a good driver. Yes. But you would have to confirm that somehow with maybe another test.
Yes.
Right? You
yes.
know?
Yes, yes.
And that could also be a cause to accidents, fatalities, et cetera. You know, someone that's what just I mean. Not being correct. Hey. Yeah, you know?
But that's the thing. It doesn't, unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't take 10 years for it to happen. It can happen within those 10 years, all of a sudden 5 years, you have a brain injury that you didn't even know you had.
Mm-hmm. Or any condition that might affect, you know, motor skills, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're able to drive still. Your license is valid, but you're driving with a head injury or whatever type of mm-hmm. problem that you may have.
Just any disability.
You know, yeah. And as I told him a story before, I was telling Rich a story before. There was a time, you know, and I'm not going to say any names, but when I was a younger kid, you know, me and my friends had a DD. You know what I'm saying? So we had her drive us to a specific party. At the end of the party, we didn't know that she was drinking. We just assumed she was not intoxicated. So we got in the car. And then all of a sudden, this girl's going 150 miles, realizing that this girl's drunk. And all of a sudden, that messed with her brain chemistry. And that's what she felt was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Meaning that at the end of the day, each person is very different. How do we, as a society, put a limit onto how we can stop these type of situations from happening moving forward? Mm-hmm. You know, now, is this the right way? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Is the option to have that default setting be something that's available in new cars? Maybe. You know what I mean? But I just don't know. You know what I mean? And I know there's cars enthusiasts who will go against the grain and say, no, you cannot do that. That's encroaching on what we do and how we want to do it. But I think that at the end of the day, maybe it's necessary, you know, because at the end of the day, like as much as 108,000 people in a decade, in the grand scheme of things, if you look at the longevity of how many people we have in this world and in this country alone, you know, is it a lot? Maybe not. But at the end of the day, each person's life matters.
Of course. You know. Yeah. Well, here's something else. Now I'm going to go to another end of the spectrum. You know, this was all about the federal recommendation of putting a speed limiter inside vehicles, right? Mm-hmm. If vehicles can't go past a speed limit, say it's by GPS tracking or whatever it may be, and everyone's abiding by the speeding laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are cities and government stuff going to say about something like that? Here's a number for you. Uh-huh. It's a good number. I think it was in 2021 or whatever, last year. Federally, there was 40 million speeding tickets issued to U.S. citizens.
Uh-huh.
40 million. And say the average price of a speeding ticket is $100 a pop.
Uh-huh.
That is $4 billion of revenue that either state or local, you know, local city, you know, government getting in revenue from these tickets.
Which is a good segue because
$4 billion.
So, for example, the NTSB has had 13,000 recommendations since 1967. So meaning that at the end of the day, these are just recommendations. These are not things that they right now, this whole thing that's happening is just a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sitting there saying this is what is required. This is what we're doing. No, they're recommending the federal government to incentivize these vehicle manufacturers to do this so that it can, you know, in what they think in their studies is lower the death rate when it comes to, you know, car accidents or speed or whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying? they're saying that this is what is going to help that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not set in stone. You know what I mean? They're just recommending. So back to your point, will the government agree? Most likely they won't because they're making $4 billion freaking dollars.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like
you know what I mean?
We know the way people drive in New York State, and like you have to assume that the government's getting at least what $1 billion a year off of speeding tickets in New York. I mean, people drive crazy.
Bro, that's just $1 billion off of crossing a bridge right now in New York.
Now imagine all that money just disappears because your cars can't speed anymore.
Yeah.
Now, then like every spring you're gonna be like, man, that pothole has been there for like a whole year now, and you're gonna be like, yeah, because the DOT has no money.
Yeah,
They have no. They have no money. There's no speeder. There's no speeders.
But yeah, man, no. That's what I'm trying to say. At the end of the day, yes, it's just a conversation. I think in the long, it's something that they're recommending. I think the reason why we're even talking about it is because everything is put on the internet. Any thought that we have is put on the internet. All of a sudden, it becomes a point of discussion. Do I think it's going to be implemented anytime sooner? No. But the concept of being in a car without driving, let's say down the line, and being in a car, and then there's a limit, do we have a problem with that? There's a difference, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to being taxied or chauffeured to a specific location and it being done by AI, and then it just goes the limit. Do we have a problem with that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As opposed to driving ourselves to a specific place. And that's later down the line. I think that later down the line and later in history, in the future, you know what I mean? I think that we're not going to have so much of a problem with it because it's going to be a different landscape when it comes to cars.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're going into that age where being self-driven, because a lot of people take Ubers now. I don't care, you know, as long as he's getting me from A to B, if I get into that car and he's going 55 miles an hour, sometimes I'm just having a full-on conversation. I don't know what speed limit this man is going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just getting driven home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think in the future, you know, we might be more accepting of this. But the fact that right now that's not an option, it's not AI driving us. It's ourselves driving the car. And now we have, you know, we're getting that limit being put upon ourselves, on us.
Right.
You know, so I think that's the reason why we're having a problem. The thing about humans is we don't like our rights taken away. We want to be able to think for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's where we're at right now. That's the reason why we're arguing this. And as a car enthusiast, I don't want this to happen. You know what I'm saying? But I do think in some capacity, the option for it to be available, I think it's not far-fetched. I don't think it's a big problem.
I mean, this would also, if it were to be implemented hypothetically, it would make the car industry rather bland.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of uniqueness then because every car has a max speed of whatever the speed limit is.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, you know, people measure 0 to 60, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, you know, this brand new car from X, Y, and Z goes 0 to speed limit in 4 seconds. You know? It's like,
yeah,
it's like so do all the other ones. Like,
word.
You know, it's like it makes it boring and bland, and it takes away the creativity from the manufacturers and automakers and stuff like that. It would just be really boring, and I don't know. There's no car competition then.
Yeah.
Just get a car. They all go the same speed.
And that's the thing. I think in some capacity, you know, they're trying to race that whole community, that whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Bringing it back to our last podcast, you know what I'm saying? The fact that there was the default setting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same concept, the default setting.
Yeah.
And then having the sports setting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and then this becoming a whole problem because of that alone. You know what I mean? This is kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? Having that and then being able to push it off and then drive the normal limit. You know what I mean? I don't know. Could it fix a lot of things? Maybe. You know what I mean? But is it a sad day?
When that happens, yeah.
Yes, if it were ever to happen, it'd be a sad day.
I think it's funny that they try to make it better, being like, no, wait. We give you a button. And you want to go a little faster, there's a button.
Yeah.
But, like, imagine the scenario of, like, you going into, like, an intersection, you have a green light, and, like, you know, someone goes through the red light, and, you know, you're potentially about to get T-boned or something. Your natural reaction would be to floor it and try to get past, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that reaction to hit that button then.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Say you're a 25-mile speed zone, and you know, you're at 25 miles an hour going through a green light.
Yeah.
You can't accelerate faster, and this guy's coming through at also 25 miles an hour.
100%. And that's the thing. Like you can't change the way a person drives, regardless of the speed limit. If a person sucks at driving and they don't know how to merge, at the end of the day, speed doesn't change anything. They're going to crash one way or another because they don't know how to drive.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just the name of the game. You know what I mean? But
I think without giving them that raw feeling of true driving, it's not going to help anyone become a better driver.
No, I agree.
You know?
I agree.
I don't think it will.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But like I said, I mean, you know, I just think it's one of those situations where we're going to have to see, you know? I think how as a society we approach it appropriately. I think there are better ways to do this, you know what I'm saying? But like you said, I think it's just a point of conversation. I think they're bringing it up. I think people's like that, you know, bodies like the NTSB, they bring these type of things up because they are concerned for the people. Does it always stick? No, but I think they always revise, fix things, and then we come to a conclusion where this works better. Mm-hmm. And I think they will come up with something better, you know. But another thing I wanted to bring up is there was a gentleman in one of the articles that we were listening that his whole family died from a drunk driving accident. Mm-hmm. And the thing is I've never had that happen to me. I'm sure... You know,
I have not.
Yeah.
Fortunately,
it's never happened. But the mindset of a person like that who has had that happen to them probably has a different mindset than we do.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they want this to happen and are more willing to put this forward for them because of what's happened to them in their lives. So you also have to kind of put yourself in those shoes and say, you know, how do they feel? You know, and that's hard. That's hard when it's never happened to you. So those are this is the reason why this conversation is even happening, because although we haven't gone through it and although my morale is different when it comes to these type of things, not everyone else's is the same.
But I understand that. And for anyone that had that kind of loss, it's incredibly tragic.
Yeah.
But there is countless things in the world that are, you know, people are allowed to do or have that are dangerous and can get you killed.
100%.
Like you know how many construction workers die every year falling from scaffolding or something like that? You know, I mean, there's tons of things that people do out of a cognitive decision that can result in a fatality.
Yep.
You know, and driving is just one of them. A car can be a dangerous thing.
Yep.
But so can tons of other things. Like you gave the example of a ladder earlier. Something as trivial as a ladder can be the cause of a death to many people.
Yeah.
You know, so... But, you know, where do you draw that kind of line on where the government can say you can't do this with that?
Yeah.
Because what other things will they also try to regulate? Like you said, the example of the two-step ladder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, you know, the more and more technology gets better, I feel like there's got to be ways where we got to understand that it's tough to say, you know, but
then
how do we let some of those freedoms go without –
bubble wrap in the whole world, you know, I don't know.
It's a weird thing, but then again, it's like
if it saves a life, it's worth it, you know.
Yeah. Is it? You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
you know,
well, it's just that kind of area.
I got one more for you.
Yeah.
How different is it from when they told us mandated seatbelts back in the 70s?
Yeah.
True.
Is that different? I don't know.
Well, yeah, and Max just brought up a point, like you know, when they mandated seatbelts. You know, where there was, like, and, you know, I don't think we were old enough to remember that, but there was a point where there was no seatbelts. There was a point where you went to the airport and there was no TSA. You just go to your freaking, you know what I mean? So there was a lot of different times, you know, there was a point where alcohol was prohibited.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, when do we know if this is the right thing or not? You know, and because we don't know. A lot of people have or believe in their, you know, in the right until it gets taken away. And then all of a sudden you start to see that the quality of life becomes better or different. And then all of a sudden you accept it, you know, and it's hard to determine that. You know what I mean? Everything that we put a limit on at first, I'm pretty sure there's a rebellion against it.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, or you're the person where you're part of like probably the smaller group of people that have been directly affected by that issue.
Yep. Yep.
Like you gave the examples of.
Yep.
You know, those type of people are probably going to be stronger advocates for safety, you know, laws to be put on, stuff like that.
Yeah. But yeah, with that said, I think, you know, we want to get your guys' opinion. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about this whole situation? Did we do our best to explain it the way that you would? You know what I mean? I don't know. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, like, it is sad to me because it takes away the playground of a car enthusiast. It really does.
Kind of just, you know, freedom in that regards.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, putting that away and putting it into your pocket and sitting there saying and looking at the grand scheme of things, would this help us as a society to move forward? Can we get rid of those type of cars and just be okay with life and then move forward to another hobby? I don't know. It's freaking weird to think about. You know what I'm saying? And this is the time of life that we're living in where technology is really taking over every aspect of everything. And it's changing things. EVs, AIs, you know what I'm saying? Cell phones, all this crap is becoming a real deal type of thing that is becoming a part of our lives that we kind of have to accept. And now we're creating new rules, new situations, new scenarios. And it's just weird. It hurts. But it's like, damn, is it better or not? Do I want to be chauffeured by my AI called Timmy? Yo, Timmy, drive me to Walmart. And then I'm just sitting there talking to Rich about this bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird.
Do we put our seatbelts back on when Timmy's when driving? When Timmy's
driving, yeah. Timmy says, fasten up.
Timmy says, fasten up. I'll be like, forget Timmy. You're driving me, bro. You're AI. You're smart, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually listening to this chess podcast where they said that AI made chess worse.
Yeah.
Because because
people can mimic.
Well, not only that, the fact, yes. They can mimic, they learn from it, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's just, you know, another topic that I was, you know, but kind of similar to the fact that AI is changing things, you know, it's making our lives different, you know, we're competing, you know, it's turning into the Terminator, bro, you know what I'm saying? Then we have Skynet, you know, oh, God, conspiracy theories.
All right,
man. Yeah. Well, if you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give us a like. Subscribe to our YouTube because we drop pieces of content like this where me and Rich just rant and talk about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Also, we drop a piece of content every Friday where it's something cool. It could be a wheel tech. It could be a car anatomy. It could be a garage tour where Max gives you the edit of his life because it's always fire. Yeah. And then guess what? In 2 weeks, your boys are going to be in SEMA. If you're going to be in SEMA, come check us out. Come say hello. If you're going to be outside, we'll probably be outside kicking it. Come say hello to us there as well because we're probably just going to roam around and say what's up. So hopefully we get to see some of you guys there. We're going to be doing some new drops of some new wheels, some new concepts that we got going on as far as a line that I think we've talked about before, but I don't want to say it because I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Yep. And we go live every Wednesday, 2 p.m. before this. Last week, what do we have? Last week we had the Hyper's Right episode with yours truly in it.
Yes, sir.
Not me, but Luis.
Yeah,
and some other people: Tom O'Gorman, Andy Smedegaard, Boosted John.
Yeah, and also
this Friday,
I would like to ask too if there's any topics that you guys want us to talk about on the podcast. Please drop them in the comments. If there's any people that you want to see on our podcast, make sure to drop them in the comments because we take your suggestions very seriously. Mm-hmm. But anyways, with that said, thank you so much for joining us on another Wheel Wednesday Behind the Wheel podcast. We're always thankful that you join us, and we're going into the Twilight Zone. Peace!